gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Alex Albin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman.
Boothman is here.
Yes, and if you've been following along with the show, Boothman's been gone for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Finally got him back. Justin is gone.
What is going on in this place?
I don't know. I've never seen them in the same place at the same time.
What? Oh, no. My secret. Oh.
Which one of us is the superhero and which one of us is the costume?
Oh, I was implying you killed him.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. Same thing. Cool. So, Pete.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of rumors swirling around, a lot of excitement about what's going on out there in the world.
A lot of rumors.
And I'm pretty excited to tell you guys, if you stay through the credits of this show, you're going to get your first look at Justice League.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
No. No, how would I do that?
Fuck you, man.
No, I'm sorry.
I missed this show.
Dude, that would have been so sweet.
Yeah, no. I'm going to have all of the actors of Justice League come on stage and stand here. And
be, are you serious?
No.
That would have been awesome.
What would I do? It's an audio podcast.
Oh, you're right.
I guess you could probably hear Henry Cavill's face pretty well, right?
I'm Superman, know. Pete. Hello.
His face says that, not the mouth part.
Whoa.
Ooh. I'm a spooky Superman ghost. Spoilers for Justice League, by the way.
Oh, man. That's how they have room to have Batman and Wonder Woman, because they kill off Superman.
Yeah, but his ghost stays and helps them solve mysteries.
Yeah,
it's a lot like Hamlet. That's where the ghost solves mysteries, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of solving mysteries, the mystery of who our amazing guests are tonight is about to be solved.
We're very
excited to have them back on the show. Two of our favorite people to have here.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, David Gallagher and Kevin Colden.
Yeah! Welcome.
Come on down. Hello. Welcome back. Hello. You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.
Do I get the Batmobile?
No, it's a Prius. So, very excited to have you guys back on the show. Always a pleasure. You have a new comic that you're working on together for the first time ever?
No, actually, it isn't the first time ever.
No!
I don't know any facts.
But it's the second time ever.
Second time ever. These two guys, as I well know, liked working with each other so much the first time.
We did.
That they decided to do this comic, Video Didn't Kill the Radio Star.
What?
It's actually called The Alternatees.
Oh my God, Alex.
Let's switch seats. It's the subtitle. It's the lead line, the log line of The Alternatees.
As far as I can tell, this comic is called Dead Guy in a Red Puddle. I know
Dead
what titles.
Dead Guy
are.
In a Red Puddle. All right. Tell us what this book is, what it's about.
You want to take this?
Yes. It's a story of the alternate version of the 1980s where Ronald Reagan lived and John Lennon died. Ronald Reagan died and John Lennon. I didn't know my own book.
It's an alternate reality where the same thing happened.
Yeah, it's the alternate reality where the exact same thing happened. No, it's basically it's a story about what went wrong with the 80s, and we tell the story of sort of an alternate version of that where Lennon lived and Reagan died. Because if you look at the 1980s, I think the most important things you can sort of take away from that.
The hair.
Apart from the hair and the glam bands, were...
Sneakers?
The three biggest things are the
slap
debut...
bracelets?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. You go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm stopping.
Leg warmers, Flashdance, Tron, Back to the Future. No. If you were to look in the 1980s, I think the three biggest developments in the 1980s early on were the death of John Lennon, the assassination of Ronald Reagan, and the debut of MTV. And so this comic sort of analyzes all that.
You all right? You were kind of mouthing weirdly while he was talking about that.
Well, Reagan didn't die.
What?
What?
Reagan didn't die.
Reagan's dead now.
He's dead now. He didn't die then.
Oh, that's true. The attempt is
what he meant to say.
So when
which we all understood, but you were kind of a dick about it.
That's my function.
Okay, let's go. That's cool.
That's why I put the log line first on the cover. Yeah. It's just a spider.
Nice. So...
We got to take a quick
go ahead.
Look.
You're sitting in my seat now.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to take. I was like, oh
can I just mention? Can I mention?
Sure.
Spider-Man sucks.
All right. Good point. We got to take a look at it. Not only is the art's kind of 80s-esque, which is very enjoyable. I did like the play on the little things that you kind of changed, which is kind of a fun as you're reading it to kind of go through a second time.
An alternate reality?
Well,
almost.
Just the amount of detail that you put into all the little different things was cool. Like MTV isn't MTV in this. It's
right,
MVT.
No, it's yeah. We call that a protection.
So, sure.
So if it's MVT, what does that stand for?
Music Video Television.
Yeah. Ooh, which is the way it should be, right?
Yes.
Right?
You tell him, Pete.
Yeah.
Shut up, Apple.
Guy who works at MTV.
I work at MTV.
But the idea is to really look at and analyze history because music and politics have always gone hand in hand. So really to analyze how things would be different if just these slight historical events had been, you know, just slightly different, the impact that they would have on our generation.
So when you're laying out an alternate reality like this, obviously you have to deal with the things that deal specifically with the story that you're trying to put forth in the comic book, but do you do more than that? Have you outlined the entire history of the world at this point or some part of it?
Yeah.
Yes, but we're not going to tell you.
What?
We're not going to tell you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, we know.
Well, I think that, so the series detail, so this is obviously what we've provided you guys with is just a preview.
Right.
But the series is laid out through 1986. And then after that, you know, if we decide to do more, you know, we'll cover the other years. But the idea was to do a really in-depth analysis of what happens in 81, what happens in 82, what happens during how do the 1984 Olympics that happened in Los Angeles.
So you just straight up skip 1983.
Wait,
do you remember 1983?
Yeah, Return of the Jedi.
Ooh. Yeah, so we skip 1983.
All right. Oh, come on! Come on, that's all right. I don't want to get into that.
No, but I mean, but the subtle differences in our series Bible are like, what if instead of growing up on a G.I. Joe cartoon, Hasbro put out an Indiana Jones Saturday morning cartoon?
Holy shit.
Oh, whoa.
You just fucked with my childhood, man. That's really fucking creeping me out. Do you still do the message that's at the end where it's like barbecue shows up and like, kids, do you know what to do? And so it'll be like Indiana Jones will be like, hey, kids, do you know what to do in a fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Short Round would set himself on fire.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Show him how to use a whip properly and stuff. Like, kids, you can't mess with
kids.
Whips.
This is how to use a whip properly.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Booth, man, that was awesome.
You're welcome.
But the subtle differences in terms of, like, what happens to Yoko Ono, what happens to John Lennon and his children, what happens George W. Bush, who formerly ran the CIA and the impact that had. If you remember...
What was it like to write something so crazy as this?
It was really... I watched... Here's the thing. I watched a lot of old clips. I say old because it's like 30 years old, but you go onto YouTube and you open up your VCR and I played old clips of you know,
like
the invention.
Like Gangnam Style and stuff like that.
Macarena. Before that.
Oh, before that? Macarena.
Scatman.
Trapper Keeper
Real
debuted,
McCoy.
Oh,
it was like
shit.
When the Trapper Keeper debuted, there's commercials of the Trapper Keeper.
Yeah.
It's revolutionary.
Yeah. Yo, Lisa Frank, right? No? One guy.
Yeah, one guy like that. Two people.
Those things. So watching the way that... the VJs would come on and talk about everything. You know, the very first MTV clips with the astronaut jumping on.
Avoid the Noid.
Yeah.
What? That was Domino's.
Avoid the Noid.
That wasn't MTV.
That was the 80s?
Sure. Oh, okay. We're switching back.
All right.
Okay. What was Kevin, what was your favorite memory from the 80s?
My favorite memory from the 80s?
That's a hell of a question to ask somebody.
Well, yeah. I slept through the 80s, mostly.
Probably half the decade you were spent sleeping.
At least a third.
Fun fact, Kevin is a bear.
Yeah, well, that's what my wife says anyway.
Oh, man, it got real for a second. now, how did you break up? Is each issue a year of the 80s, or like how did you break this up?
Yeah, that's right. That's yeah, the plan,
each,
right?
Yeah, each
starts
issue
out that way, and it goes up to half the decade, and then from there, who knows what happens at the end of the decade? Sorry.
Who knows? Yeah, so that was the idea, is that we cover 1980. Each issue represented a snapshot of the 80s told from like this documentary sort of point of view that analyzed with these, like our main point of view characters were basically the first VJs of our MTV analog, and it's told from their perspective.
Now, did you have to get all, like, conspiracy theory on this? Like, okay, if he never died, then that means, and then have, like, giant strings going to stuff and, like,
a little bit in a
room all by yourself, like, freaking out?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there's, even in this book alone, you know, we show what happens to Yoko as a result of John not dying, which, you know, isn't so good. And things like that. I mean, there's a ripple effect from there and into everything. And I imagine we would ultimately get up to, like, the fall of the Berlin Wall and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sort of like the end point and how that would go down. And maybe we all become communists at the end.
Holy shit.
Who knows?
That's nuts.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, and that's exactly it. So if John were to live, I'm sure he would write one hell of a detox album.
Right.
You know, so, like, and I'm being honest, it's like, how would, I mean, in my mind... I mean, history, I think, tells a different story, or alternate history tells a different story. But in my mind, John Lennon could be the Bono of the 80s or the Bob Geldof of the 80s.
Wasn't Bono the Bono of the
80s? No, but Bono...
Yeah, what happens to Bono then? Holy shit!
There you go. Well, that's for the...
Dude, I'm scared to read this book, man.
that's the
Pete, it's not real, man. You're okay.
All right, good thing.
What happens to the comic book club in this book?
Yeah.
Is it communist book club?
That's a fixed point at time.
Exactly. Yeah. Communist book club.
Today we are reading the Red Book by Mao, just like last week.
So where can people get this book? When is it coming out?
So we're going to, I think, submit the preview to Comixology in the next couple of weeks. And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. There's
a couple weeks.
Tomorrow. Well, I would say tomorrow, but right now, yeah. So right now, it's going online in a couple weeks. We had made it available at the end of last year for as a free PDF download.
Yeah, is that still up?
It's still. No,
that's not still up.
Yes,
because it'll be on Comixology next week.
We'll submit it to Comixology and the process it from there. So
cool.
So we'll let you guys know.
Great. And what else are you guys working on? You're always very busy.
Jeez, what are we not working on? I've got a new Fishtown's coming back into print in March.
Nice.
It's actually going to be part of an omnibus book from IDW of crime stories called Mean Streets. So it's going to be there's going to be four other really good books three other really good books in there as well.
So it's like five little pieces.
Yeah. Well,
it's four other stories.
Three other stories.
Oh,
four total. I hope anyway. I don't know. That's what I was told. But yeah, so that's coming out, and a few other things. Starting up a publishing imprint with my wife, Miss Lasco Gross, which I probably can't really announce yet, but it's
you kind of just did.
I did.
Ta-da!
Yeah. I guess so. So that's
it's all right. You are a bear of very little brain.
That's not why she married me.
I see what you did there. Nice callback to him being.
Thank
a bear.
You. It's always good to point out a callback.
So that's about it for me. And David always has 3,000. Things happen.
I'm working on a TV show that I can't publicly announce, which is very exciting.
Is it for MTV?
No, it's not for MTV.
Real Housewives?
No.
If we just name things, will you tell us if we're right?
Yeah, no. But
there goes that game.
Yeah, I know, right? So, but The Only Living Boy, which was our Harvey-nominated print comic series, is actually where... adding an additional channel, so we're going to be broadcasting it as a webcomic.
Cool.
So Steve Ellis and I are very excited about that. Steve and I are also doing two new superhero projects.
That you can't say anything about?
One comes out in May. And then I can't say anything else about them. But it's very exciting to work on really exciting superhero-y things, and it's really exciting to go back to our roots. With launching the Only Living Boy webcomic, people can Download the first two issues in Comixology, and the website URL is for the webcomic is OLB, like Only Living Boy, comic.com.
It's clever.
What? Sweet.
It's clever.
Yeah. Thank you. OLBcomic.com. And so, yeah, so it's cool. We'll be unleashing the first two issues and the new content down the line. But it's really cool. And we decided to do that just to sort of broadcast to get more readers and get people really excited about it. We're really excited about the quality of the story. We just want more eyes on it than just people can, you know.
So it kind of sounds like for both of you, 2014 is going pretty well so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So far.
Cool. The reason I bring it up, I mean, right. We were talking about this a little bit before the show, but yeah. You put up a post
saying
2013 yeah. kicked my ass.
Yes, it did. Well, I'm trying to kick 2013's ass, but it's gone, so I can't do it anymore.
Gotcha.
It's frustrating.
2013 yeah. kind
do
of
you feel
blew.
Like,
yeah, it did.
2013 yeah. sucked.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there are things that are changing in the comic book industry that make things a little more positive for indie comic creators
Absolutely.
This year? What
Absolutely.
Are they?
Absolutely. Well, I think one big thing, at least from my perspective, is DC finally kind of getting past the whole move thing, and that's settling down. I mean, certainly there are people who work there who need to kind of figure out where they're going, and that's, you know, a thing in and of itself. But I think ultimately that sort of passed. Like for the past couple of years, they've sort of been in limbo, like business-wise. So I think that, you know, when you only have two major companies in the industry that you can really, like, make a living off of as a creator, it's certainly having one of them get more stable is never a bad thing. So... But as far as, like, creator-owned stuff, I think that, like, Image has been really strong for the past 2-3 years, especially. They've been putting out amazing, amazing books, like, left and right, especially with Saga last year.
Oh, yeah, man.
Not only a great book, but just doing killer, killer numbers. I think that's pretty positive. Like, I think that points to some really positive things. Obviously, I'm starting a publishing imprint, so there you go. I feel that.
Well, I think Comixology really opened the door with the Comixology Submit program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I think really gave creators an opportunity to broadcast their work in channels that they thought were not open to them previously. So that's really exciting and really encouraging. I'm also, this sounds weird, but I'm really excited how Obamacare sort of opened the door for freelancers working in comics. It sounds very political, but
controversial.
Get those dogs out of here. Weird.
As last year, I suffered as a creator, nearly ruptured my spleen in a fall.
Oh shit!
And at Comic-Con, of all places. And
was it an assassination?
Yes, somebody tried to assassinate.
Was it Kevin?
It was weird because Kevin was like, "Long live the 80s!"
Viral studs.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very bizarre. It was some clock tower and weird stuff.
Comic-Con.
Yes, you heard me all the way from New York.
Yeah,
I was just sending.
It was a very powerful assassin bullet.
Yeah, that was it from my brain to yours. Attack.
Yeah, it's like a telekinetic bullet.
It's like probably one, a time bullet.
Yeah, time. Wow, it's crazy. It crosses time.
So bones. Point being, things look
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, so yeah. So anyway, I think Obamacare really opened the door for a lot of freelancers. Bit,
yeah.
I think it opened a door for a lot of freelancers who previously had health conditions, to blah, 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 blah. So I think those two things, in terms of freelancer market, really made 2013 great, and I think it's making 2014 look even more positive.
Awesome. Cool. Looking forward to it, you guys. Yeah. And looking forward to you writing an alternate history where it's terrible in 30 years.
I would love to write an alternate history of 2013. I'll tell
yeah?
you that.
In real life?
Yes.
Oh.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that we particularly liked. We're going to start off with Pete's Deadpool Corner.
Yeah.
Woo. Wait, you have your own corner?
I do.
It's kind of a curved corner.
It's curved, but it's the end of the seat.
I think wearing that Deadpool mask is really a giveaway.
Yeah.
Because thanks. This is an audio podcast.
No, you don't have to explain the bit. I get you. I'll go along with what you're saying.
He knows comedy, David.
So two issues of Deadpool came out this week.
Yep.
One of the regular Deadpool series and the other at Infinite Comic.
Yeah, the Gauntlet, which
was weird because sometimes we talk to this guy who works at Marvel, and I was actually listening to an old podcast, which I don't normally do.
What? Of ours?
Yeah, of ours.
That's weird.
It was weird.
We have podcasts?
Yeah.
Online? That you can listen to?
Yeah, you can get like a podcast app, and then we're on it.
What?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I was testing to make sure we could download our thing. Anyways, I heard this guy, Jordan D. White, and he was talking about this Deadpool gauntlet, and I was like, oh, yeah, he did talk about that. So I downloaded it.
I don't think you had that
thought.
There you
go. Our podcast is crazy informative.
Yeah, crazy informative about stuff going on. And so I got it, and it's awesome. It's really cool. Deadpool kind of teams up with Dracula.
Does he kind of team up with Dracula?
Well, he kind of auditions Deadpool. He's like, you're kind of crazy, but you're also kind of indestructible. I need you for this thing. And Deadpool's like, all right, I'm not really doing anything.
So at any point does Dracula say, Red Deadpool is about to die? Red Deadpool needs food badly.
I get it.
Yeah.
There's a gauntlet.
Yeah, I get it. That's a very good game.
See, I was trying to figure out the
back
Dracula
to the
joke.
1980s.
And
yeah, that was awesome.
Well, that actually never happened.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, right.
So it's an infinite comic, right?
Right.
So,
it is. I don't know what that means.
It keeps going on forever.
So it's never going to end? Pages. I can't just buy these forever.
You're not actually at the show. You're reading it right now.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm liking it.
Cool. What do you think about the regular issue of Deadpool?
Regular issue of Deadpool, yeah. Which normal Deadpool is what I'm calling it in my head.
Deadpool number one?
Yeah, normal Deadpool number one. Get out of my head, man. It's really awesome. This is kind of a funner issue in the past with the good, the bad, and the ugly. They were kind of dealing with some messed up things. This was nice to see them get back to some humor and had a cameo by Agent Coulson.
Awesome.
Yeah, and also Scott Adsit came back and had some funny stuff going on with his arm. But yeah, it was really hilarious. Issue.
Eddie, do you want to describe any of the funny stuff?
He's just got a wiggly arm or something.
Yeah, he's got a wiggly arm.
Oh yeah, those are pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Arms don't usually wiggle like that, but Scott Adsit's arm does.
There you go.
Yes.
If you're not reading it, Scott Adsit from 30 Rock is a recurring character as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yep.
In Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
He's a wiggly arm.
Eddie's got
my arm wiggles too. Can I be in Deadpool?
No, not like that.
Nope.
Kevin's arm wiggles really good.
Nope. Nope.
That's pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah, especially on an audio podcast.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
You audio people are listening to a lot of sweet wiggling.
Oh, be sure to check out our other podcast, Comic Book Club Presents Sweet Wiggling. It's only once a month, but it's very informative.
Yeah, it's worth it.
All right, let's move on with one of my picks.
Yeah,
one of my favorite books that I'm reading right now, 3 from Image Comics. This is by Kieran Gillen, drawing by Jordi Belair, I think. Am I imagining that?
It's called 3?
It's called 3.
Issue 4, which isn't confusing.
Right. So the idea is... It's based somewhat on real life events. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Jordi Belair is doing. It's Ryan Kelly and Jordi Belair are doing the art. So
you were way off.
Yes, it's years after, not an actual sequel to 300, but it's a spiritual and historical sequel to 300, where years later the Spartans are victorious. They've won. They have a slave. I don't know, what would you call it?
Colony?
The slave colony. Well, there's slaves all over called helots, and they could do whatever they want to them. They could chop them to bits if they want to, and nobody can stop them. So this guy goes to where a bunch of helots are, threatens them, and a storyteller riles them up enough that they basically kill everybody until this one slave that previously has had a hobbled leg turns out to be the most badass warrior in the entire world and kills all of them. And then there's 3 of these helot slaves who are on the run from the entire Spartan army. So in this 4th issue, they finally, spoiler, end up in a little bit of a trap, get their backs against the wall, and have to face up against the entire army, and there's only 3 of them.
Right.
And it is badass. Like, really, if you're looking for something that is if you like 300, either the comic or the movie, read this book.
Is it an all-ages book?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. Unless you go into kindergarten classes and dissect bodies, I guess, then maybe it's all ages, but
which,
I don't think that
happened. Which is what I did.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Great book, great art. Pete, this is your first time reading it. What did you think about it?
Well, picking up three with issue number four is a little difficult.
What do you want the issue to be called, Pete? Issue number A?
No, I'm just...
A is actually not the fourth letter in the alphabet.
I'm sorry.
I use a different alphabet, okay?
Oh, right. Yeah,
and it goes B, C, D, A. That's all I need.
Yep, that's all you need. It's got to be this far.
Cab.
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 Dab.
Ba. Cab.
Well, I don't know what's happening anymore.
But that glad to be back.
Yeah. I don't know why you would miss this. So, anyways, this issue was very intense, enjoyable. But then at the end, I kind of was when one guy gets stabbed pretty bad. I'm like, well, now they're going to have to rename it to two. And I'm wondering if it's a countdown.
Oh, my God.
And then it's going to end with one.
Which is the loneliest number? I see callback back to the Beatles. With the...
All right, so you don't have to spell it out.
Yeah, you still don't have to say the thing about the callback. This is a great book. The other thing, there's some great back matter in there as well. Kieran Gillen does an interview, an extensive interview, every issue with a history professor who specializes in Spartan history. And so he has several pages where he talks to him about the real historical implications of the issue and why they decided to change certain things so that they made more sense for a comic and how he allowed them to do it. So it's very cool. Definitely pick that up. Let's move on with one of Pete's picks, Walking Dead number 119, also from Image Comics. Now, have you guys been keeping up with Walking Dead at all?
No.
Not at all.
Turn it back to Pete.
It's too
Pete,
violent.
Let's talk about
me.
This.
Well, you guys should pick it up. It's only 119 in. It's very, you can pick it up at any time.
Wait, is it all ages?
Not all ages.
Yeah. Well, there are all ages of dead people in there, if that's what you mean.
I don't think that's what all ages means.
I really don't know.
If there's a 3-year-old that's dead, that means 3-year-olds can read it. Is that what your logic is?
Sure.
Okay. Anyways, this issue is very intense. It's all out war. And has a really amazing cliffhanger in this issue that I feel like this all-out war thing has kind of been all over the place, but it's
all out of over. Never mind.
Anyways, I feel like of all the kind of cliffhangers in this comic, this had me one of the top like two or three times I've been like, holy shit. I can't wait to read the next issue.
So just to get a little more in depth about the storyline, what's happening is. Rick and his band of survivors have moved to this town where they've been safe for a while. They've built it. What?
The hilltop?
Alexandria safe zone. Hilltops. Yeah. I think another place.
Wait. Rick survived? Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. Anyway, there's this guy, Negan, who's a badass, worse than the governor if you're watching the show. They have decided enough is enough. They've teamed up with these other villages in the area, and they're trying to take him down. Past couple of the issues, things have gone pretty well for them. And this issue, maybe they turn around a little bit.
Yeah, really creepy.
So there you go.
There was a really amazing panel in there that I want to talk about where this guy Jesus, who is this amazing badass
dude. I've heard of him.
Not the real Jesus.
He's pretty badass, though.
Jesus?
Yeah, let's call him Jesus to avoid confusion.
No, it's Jesus, apparently.
No, yeah, it actually is Jesus.
It is Jesus.
An editor of Marvel knows more about Image.
Yeah. Than me, which isn't really saying much. But anyway, Jesus says to Rick, like,
sorry, could you say Jesus Christ? It'll make me more comfortable.
Jesus says to Rick, hey, look at those zombies over there. And Rick's like, yeah, what? He's like, they're laughing at us. And it's this weird moment where it's like, whoa, is Jesus insane? And then...
Can someone edit just to have Pete saying that? Whoa, is Jesus insane?
So... But he's like, think about it, man. We're fighting each other. They're winning. They're loving this shit because it's less of us and the zombies are winning. And I was like, holy shit, Jesus, it's so deep.
So do you think...
Sorry, I couldn't help
That's the first time in history anybody named Jesus has been deep.
Probably. Too bad there isn't...
A historical precedent for it. The Do you think now we have to go back and reread the issues where all of the zombies, since it's a comic and we can't actually hear them, are actually going, ha, ha, ha,
This is why I demand thought balloons for The Walking Dead. I just want to know what those zombies are thinking.
You should see a little movie called Warm Bodies.
What?
Don't worry about it.
There's a movie called Warm
Bodies.
You
should also see an audiologist.
I was actually thinking of a telepathologist where I could read what they were thinking.
Yeah. Might solve a lot of problems. last pick of the day, Batman Superman, number 7 from DC Comics. This is a book by Greg Pak. He's had an arc the past couple of issues where Batman actually died.
Yeah.
Batman and Superman were sucked into this virtual reality video game that people were playing, not realizing they were controlling the actual Batman Superman. Pretty cliched plot. I feel like you've seen
it a lot. Yeah, because the kid just put quarters in and then Batman came back to life.
Right, exactly. But it turns out it's actually a plot by big bad guy Mongol who wants to take over the entire world. Batman comes back to life as sort of a cyber villain controlled by people. Superman gets controlled by people in this issue. The thing that differentiates this beyond Pak's writing, which is uniformly excellent, is every single page is done in widescreen. You know, back in the day with Jeff Loeb first launched the Batman Superman title, you had this thing where you could hear both of their thoughts, Batman and Superman, at the same time. And that was the kind of thing about it. Like, it was from both of their perspectives. What this does differently, you do get both of their perspectives, and they're handled very evenly, but every page being widescreen really makes it into this gigantic blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. The action looks great. And there's a moment in it, talking about specific moments in the book, where Batman, so he got this hole blasted through him. The only way he's staying alive is the nanotechnology of this game rebuilt him into this robot Batman guy. In order to stop Mongol, they have to shut down the game. That's going to kill Batman. And Batman is like, you got to do it, dude. You got to shut down the game. I know I'm going to die. It doesn't matter. That's the only way. There's no choice. And in a specific rebuke of Man of Steel, Superman is like, no, there is always a choice.
Yep.
And figures out another way to save everybody by getting the entire Earth to team up together and stop it. And it's really a great, fun Superman story.
That's the thing.
Shut up. Shut up, Kevin.
That sounds really nice.
No, but that's
Kevin said nothing.
That's the thing, though. It was
said something.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me. It was like, it was this crazy kind of plot that was all over the place. Like, okay, first they're Batman and Superman, but then they're not. The robot's being controlled by Earthlings. Like, it's a giant video game. And then Mongol shows up, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? But then in this issue, it kind of like slows down and gets a little heart to it and actually becomes a really unique, amazing Batman-Superman story. And ends really well in a heart kind of warming way. And I'm like, God damn you, Greg Pak. You're an amazing writer.
Sort of like
warming the cockles.
Yeah,
the cockles.
You, wait, you have cockles in your heart?
I do, don't you?
No, Stone.
That's why he's a good writer. It's all Stone.
Anyway, it's a great book. Definitely pick it up. And that's it for the stack. All right. Guys, it's now time for my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman!
Hey. Woo! Hey, everybody. It's so nice to have you back.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice to be back. All right, so we have a ton of great questions.
Oh, man.
Wow. So let's get started.
All right.
Okay. All right. What is... what would your favorite... What would your favorite comic book character's New Year's resolution be? And happy birthday, Ava.
Oh. Who's Ava? Hey.
Hey, happy birthday.
Ava.
Happy birthday, Ava. Woo!
Ava.
Thanks for spending your birthday with us. We got you a comic book show.
Yeah.
And smart-ass answers.
Yep. So what do you guys think? Favorite comic book character, New Year's resolution, and happy birthday to Ava.
I think Superman's New Year's resolution would be to stop killing people.
Cool.
I think
he's not going to keep it beyond the first week.
Yeah.
Well, he saved Batman.
And warm the cockles.
Yeah, warm the cockles. Okay, what's your...
I would say Robin. I think his New Year's resolution would be to get his green underpants laundered more often, perhaps.
More often.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Pete, you got any?
Mine, yeah, nobody would do that. I was like, Punisher wouldn't say I'm going to kill less because that's not what he's about.
He'd be like, I'm going to make a resolution to kill less. Bap, bap, bap. Oh, man.
He's like, damn it. Look what I'm such a creature of habit.
All right.
Use less
bullets.
I'll
try to lose weight.
Killing more people.
Yeah, maybe kill more. Maybe he's going to kill more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Punisher's to kill more people.
Be more efficiency.
Yeah.
Kill more people with less bullets. Kill more people with less bullets.
Yeah. Maybe just in a more green way.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need Punisher to be more green.
More like just with his hands.
I think Punisher would probably try to be more active with his war journal. Just mark things down every day.
He wants to write more.
Yeah, he wants to write more.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Wolverine.
Does he have any publishers for his war journal, or does he just do it for
Scholastic?
Scholastic.
For a YA version. Yeah.
He went to a Judy Blume sighting. He's like, listen, I know this is a bad time. Do you have any tips?
About you got any tips? Oh, I shot you, Judy Blume. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
I love this question. If you could be any sidekick's father, who would you?
Do you want to die?
Who would you choose, and would you approve of their lifestyle?
Any sidekick's father?
Any sidekick's any father. Sidekick's Don't father. Say Kevin, okay? Yeah. Your partners.
Audio hug.
Well, I am Pete's dad, and he is my sidekick.
Hey,
do you approve of his lifestyle?
Go to your room.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. Sidekicks, I guess you could probably be...
Yeah, well, we already went with Robin, so I have my own sidekick at home. He's 3 years old, and I am his dad, and I approve of his lifestyle. Yeah. There you go.
Well, so far.
Wait, how old
so
is he?
So far.
Three? What sort of lifestyle does he have at three? Is he like Hugh Hefner inviting girls over?
He wants the builder and shit. I don't know. But it's cool, you know? Whatever. He's cool.
Yeah, not to give a realistic answer, but I feel like if I had a grown-up child who was a sidekick, as long as they had some supervisory, like the Batman for Robin, something like that. If I knew Batman was there looking out for my Robin, I'd be okay with
that. Yeah, they always end up fine.
Yeah.
Sidekicks are always fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's been so many different...
Put the mic up to your mouth when you talk.
No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That way the people at home
gotta
can
gotta trust
hear you.
Your kids at some point, David.
With guns.
With guns. Yeah.
Problem solved. So, actually, I think that... I'm trying to think of all the sidekicks.
Do you want us to give you a sidekick?
Yeah, give us some sidekicks.
No, I think that... if I were Bucky's dad... I would not approve of him later becoming the Winter Soldier.
What?
No, I'm just saying.
He gets a
Let
movie,
him live
though.
His life, man.
Well, yeah. Bucky's...
Whatever, Dad, I want to get a cybernetic arm. Work for the Russians. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's the Winter Soldier.
Is that a teenager's
Spoilers.
I don't know. No. It's either a teenager or a guy who is slowly dying.
In our alternate communist future, he'd be a hero.
There you go.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Pete, you have any choices?
Well, I mean, realistically, if you're going to love your kid, you got to approve their lifestyle. It's their life. They got to live it. And you got to be able to roll the punch like that.
Actually, now that I think about it, wasn't Microchip?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Punisher's sidekick?
Yeah.
Do you think his parents approved of his lifestyle as Punisher's?
That's fucking dream come true for your kid. You're helping somebody fucking...
Didn't he die a horrible, gruesome death?
Yeah, but he lived. He lived, my friend. How many people can say that?
Raise your hand if you ask that. We can get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Holy shit. Who do you think lost their virginity first? Out of the people on the panel, no. Superman, Batman, or Spider-Man?
Ooh. Oh boy, Batman.
Batman.
What?
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
And Spider-Man's definitely last, right?
No. Oh, no.
Superman's
actually,
last.
Actually, I think Spider-Man. Actually, Canonically, Spider-Man.
What?
Spider-Man was molested and...
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
Whoa. Let's say consensual.
No, there is actually a power pack. Am I wrong? There's a power pack Spider-Man PSA comic that came out in the mid-80s.
Oh, and he talks to them.
Power pack molested Spider-Man?
Not Power Pack and Spider-Man were in a PSA comic together in the 80s. I believe that Spider-Man was, in fact, had sexual relations.
With Power Pack.
Can I end this question right now?
Yes.
Can we just end it?
Yeah.
Answer is Batman, the end.
Cool. Let's get the next question.
Jesus Christ.
Very quickly, though, obviously it's Batman.
Way
right?
to go.
It's Batman.
He'd be like, I got money. My parents died. I'm really dark and brooding. Let's have sex.
I'm really dark and brooding.
If it'll help you get over your
Can
loss.
Can Superman have sex?
Yes.
Wouldn't he kill whoever he has sex with?
All right, did you get Smallville? Come on.
I didn't watch Smallville, unfortunately.
I didn't watch Smallville.
Is that canon, Smallville?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Next question.
Superman could have sex with the sun. Next question.
And then get cancer. All right. The rumor train has been talking. Oh, that's nice.
A whole train?
About Wonder Woman's ancestry might be Kryptonian.
Uh-huh. Right.
If true, do you think fanboys will go crazy or, in parentheses, upset?
Okay, so first of all, that rumor is not true. Second of all, if you put the word rumor, you could logically assume fanboys go crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
So that answers that. But yeah, the rumor was there was a guy on a site called Batman on Film, which is usually a very reputable site, where he was running down rumors, answering fan questions that people sent to him. One of the questions is, what do you think they're going to do with Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman? And he said, honestly, I don't know. I'm just speculating here. I have no idea. But if I was to bet a month's rent on it, it would be that the ancient Kryptonians who landed in Man of Steel eventually went on to genetically create the Amazonians, so she's going to be Kryptonian.
That's a ridiculous thing to say, though.
It is not true. He was saying that he was speculating.
Yeah, I know, but why then put the rent money on it? It just seems like...
He didn't literally...
You're trying to be credible, but whatever, it was a rumor.
He doesn't actually pay any rent. He lives in a box.
In Alex's basement.
It's true.
Now, anyway. Ah.
That's what happens when you gamble with your rent money.
Yeah, there you go. So, not true. If it was true, yes, of course, everybody would freak out.
You should charge that guy rent.
It's a box. I'm trying to be nice.
Still a freeloader.
Yeah. We'll talk about this later. Batman on Film.
Who asked that? All right.
Cool. Next question.
Yeah. You want to do lightning round?
Yes, lightning
round.
Let's
do it. Are any of you still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Arrow is so much better.
Yes. And Arrow's there's a show about an arrow?
Where the hell have you been? Have you not heard Pete's Arrow Corner?
Wait, is it just like
no, legitimately. It's a Green Arrow TV show.
Why is
it's
it
from
called
the perspective,
Green Arrow?
It's from the perspective of a singular arrow.
Yes. That's what I'm wondering. Now that show sounds really good.
Whoa! Ow!
When's he going to land? Come on, they're drawing this out.
Next question.
Yes.
What's going to happen to Superior Spider-Man?
It's going to end.
Oh!
Well, I think it's going to continue.
Oh, wait. I'm confused.
So for those of you who didn't hear the news, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but starting in April, I think, Amazing Spider-Man is coming back with Peter Parker in the lead.
Yes!
Yes!
Pete finally won.
Finally. Dude, that took forever.
That was a long battle.
It was ridiculously long.
For those of you who didn't know, by the way, Peter Parker died.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So you're happy about this news?
Yeah, of course. Finally, we get Spider-Man back. Not this bullshit Spider-Man.
Not this bullshit, really well-written, good story.
Who cares how well-written he is? It's bullshit.
Who cares how
Who cares if it's good?
Yeah, thank you.
I want the old.
I'm going to refer the answer to this question back to the will fanboys get upset question.
Yeah.
Yep. They always do.
Yeah, this is the best Spider-Man's been in 5 decades.
Fuck you.
Whoa! 50 years.
This has been a great story. I'd love to see it go. The question, though, is...
And you're a writer, you asshole.
Yeah, don't like good writing.
The question is, what's going to happen to the Superior Spider-Man title when they relaunch Amazing Spider-Man? There's been rumors potentially about it continuing. What do you think?
Hopefully it'll just die off and we'll forget about this thing that ever happened.
You're the worst. You're the worst person.
What do you want?
What do I want? I want it to continue. I love this story. I would love to have both. I'd love to have Peter Parker Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus Spider-Man.
Was that Doc Ock trying to come out of your mouth when you go up? Making you say all this
before
stuff?
Before the show. I've been in prison for 18 years. Leave me alone. Cool. Next question.
Jordan liked that question. What is the best way a dead character has been brought back?
Probably Bucky, actually, to get back to Winter Soldier. Yeah, I think if you never read that storyline, and you're going to see it in the movie coming out in April probably, or some form of it, but Bucky, dead for decades, came back as a brainwashed, cybernetically armed assassin and slowly found out who he was, slowly worked his way up to actually becoming Captain America himself. It was a great character. It was a really good storyline.
I would have liked that story more if there had been 4 Buckys that came back. One was like a kid Bucky.
Right.
One was like a cyborg Bucky. Yes. Yeah, a robot Bucky, an alien Bucky with a cool visor, and an armored Bucky.
And one of them was definitely going to be the real Bucky, but then he split into two.
Yeah, exactly. Problem solved.
This is a good idea.
Oh my God, electric versions of Bucky?
Are you guys worried that like people in the beginning of the podcast are like, oh man, I can't wait to check out these guys' comic. And then as the show goes on and you talk more nonsense, people are like, oh, I'm not going to check that out at all.
So aggressive.
The target over there. You've got Deadpool corner over there. It's awesome.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking.
Next question, please.
What's your favorite episode of Super Friends?
Ooh.
Go, go, go.
Wow. Man.
My favorite episode of Super Friends. Okay.
Oh, so you're so excited.
The Fear is really good. It's Batman's origin. It's written by Alan Burnett. It's part of the last season of Galactic Guardians. That's a great episode. You should watch it if you haven't seen it. But more importantly, the best episode ever is when they battle Frankenstein. And Frankenstein has the powers of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. And they're fused into him. And the only way they can stop him is to get Robin. And Robin then gets the last remnants of all the powers. And they... battle between superpowered Frankenstein and superpowered Robin. Oh my God, it's amazing.
So let me see if I got this straight. Frankenstein, who's the doctor who created the monster.
Fuck you!
The episode is called Super Friends Meets Frankenstein.
Well, it's wrong.
I don't care!
Okay, how many licks does it take for Batman to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Vegets. Cool, that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman. All right, we're going to turn it to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
There it is, yeah.
And in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First of all, there has been a crazy amount of casting rumors and truths over the past couple of days. First one, you brought this up before the show. You were super excited about Johnny Depp possibly playing Doctor Strange in a Marvel movie.
That would be amazing.
Well, no. Kevin should play Doctor Strange.
I agree. I was thinking
holy
the same
shit.
Thing.
He should.
He's got the great temples. He's got the Eye of Agamotto, cape.
Could you say, by the hoary hosts of Hogarth?
Could you say that again?
No.
By the horny host?
I can kind of do that.
The hoagie
host. Oh, wow. Look at that hand motion.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, we should break your head in an accident, and let's see what happens. Maybe you'll get magic. Anyway, it's not true. He's not going to be Doctor Strange.
Oh, man, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Yeah. Who would you like to see as Doctor Strange, though? Because it seems like rumors about that movie are heating up, other than Kevin. At a loss. Amazing. All right.
I think Denzel Washington.
Denzel
Though
Washington.
Though he may be too busy playing Green Lantern.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's been disproven as well. He's not going to
Shush!
Be... one thing that is true, though, Michael Douglas is going to be Hank Pym in Ant-Man alongside Paul Rudd playing Scott Lang as Ant-Man in Ant-Man. So there are 2 Ant-Mans in Ant-Man.
Or
what do you
will there
about
be
that?
3 Ant-Mans in Ant-Man?
I don't know. I know literally nothing. Except for the fact that, no, there's only going to be two.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Are you sure there's not going to be a younger version of Michael Douglas playing Hank Pym?
Oh, yeah, I guess there is going to be that. The rumor that came out today, so there's Oliver Pena, who's in American Hustle right now, is supposedly, I read this, and this sounds like the craziest thing ever, and I'm sure this is not true, but the movie starts off in the 1960s with a young Ant-Man, who eventually becomes Michael Douglas, when he's a spy for the U.S. government, and he's trying to take down a Fidel Castro-esque figure played by Oliver Pena, potentially, and then later on that comes back to haunt him and also Scott Lang.
That's actually something that Edgar Wright had hinted at in his interview back in 2006.
Yeah. So are you excited for Ant-Man?
I am.
Do you like Michael Douglas for Hank Pym?
As an older Hank Pym, yeah. I like the idea of generational heroes that existed pre-Tony Stark in the 2008 version of Iron Man.
Cool. Whoa. All right.
What about you? Are you excited about Michael Douglas as Ant-Man?
I am. I'm very excited. I've never been a huge Ant-Man fan, but I'm actually really excited about this movie.
I think it's great.
I like everyone involved, so I'm like, hey.
And Paul Rudd's in his mid-40s.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah, 44.
He's so handsome.
How does he do it?
I don't understand.
Oh.
Super Soldier Serum.
Oh.
Talking about legacy heroes and a bit of comic book news. David, I know you were excited about this before the show, but DC has reported, after much demand, they're bringing back Wally West, one of the legacy Flashes.
Couple people excited.
Barry Allen has been the Flash of the DC Universe for a couple of years now. Wally West was the hero both before and after him, who was the Flash. He's been gone since they had their reboot a couple of years ago, and now he's back. Why are you excited about this, David?
I'm really excited because Wally West is, as much as I like Barry Allen, Wally West was the Flash I grew up with, so he's the one that I like more.
There you go. Yeah. I agree.
Also, he's the one that is in the Justice League cartoon.
Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, Justice League Unlimited.
Does he fight Dr. Frankenstein in that?
If only you could see the stare, audio listeners.
Last thing to chat about, we're going to turn it over to Pete's Arrow Corner.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. It's Arrow.
So you have a Deadpool corner.
Right.
You have a Punisher corner.
Sure.
There's Asshole Corner over here. Right. I guess Arrow Corner, that makes it a room?
We're trying very hard to trap Pete.
Yeah.
We're almost there. We almost have quarters.
Yeah, if you keep giving me corners, eventually I'll be trapped.
It's an octagon.
We can talk about this a little bit. Arrow's finally coming back after a couple of weeks' hiatus.
Oh, man. Thank God.
With the new episode, Blast Radius. Last thing it introduced, actually, was Barry Allen as the Flash. So we're getting the new episode, and we've actually seen the episode that's
coming
out tomorrow.
You used your connections.
I did.
To share with me the next episode.
Yeah.
Which was pretty amazing.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want to spoil, but this is a great episode.
Is this the episode that airs tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah. What day is it?
Oh, boy.
When are we? Your face is amazing.
Just
right now.
If you're listening to this at home, whenever you're listening to it, it's on tomorrow night.
We're not going to say days because nobody knows.
Listen to it every day to never age.
Yeah. Or to never see the
podcast of Dorian Gray.
We will just become very old.
Yeah. Wow, his voice is so young.
Yeah. But what was crazy about this episode is
I'm not going to cut you off in case you're wondering.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I keep waiting for it.
Shit.
But there... they go to like an insane.
That's it for Andy's Arrow Corner! All right,
come
guys.
On.
We're going to move with our next section with trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
You promised me before the fucking show. Piece of shit.
He's so
you're like,
mad.
Justin's not here. I'm going to let you talk. Oh, why do I fall for it every fucking
time? Wait, does Justin have his own corner too?
Guys, this is an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. What, the birthday girl?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh.
Woo!
It's her birthday. You might as well win $25 on your birthday. You're going to need to hold the microphone. You can bring it with you.
No,
it's all right. Bring drinks.
Actual dollars?
$25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. let's face it, we'd spend the money on comics anyway. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and then you'll win the money. All right? So you've just have to read every book that came out this week, and you'll be fine.
Super. I come every week.
Yeah. All right, great. All right, here we go. Question number one. In Walking Dead number 119, which was amazing, by the way, who does Michonne punch in the face? Is it A, Ezekiel? Pick A. Or it's B, Negan? Or is it C, Matthew McConaughey? So it's either A, which is correct, or it's B.
A
is correct. Yeah. Nice job. All right, here we go. In 100 Bullets, Brother Lano number 7, we sure see a lot of blank in this issue. Is it A, punching, B, torture, or C, unprepared speeches? What? I won the Golden Globe? I'm not prepared. So it's either A, punching, or it's B, torture.
I'm going to go with B.
Yeah, nice job. All right, here we go. Last question. In Deadpool number 22, we have an awesome cameo by blank. Now, I said this early in the show, so I'm not going to tell you. Is it A, Agent Coulson? Don't look to the audience for help.
Yeah, don't do that.
B, Agent Coulson is the first answer, which is what we talked about early in the show. Or is it B, Hydra Agent Bob? Or is it C, Bono giving a back rub? So it's either A or it's B.
Please, God, don't pick C.
I think it's A.
A is correct.
Yay!
$25 is yours. A happy birthday to you.
Woo! Yay!
Unbelievable. Happy birthday. All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Amazing X-Men number 3 because they're saying it's Beast like we've never seen him before.
Naked?
We've all seen Beast naked. Come on. At this point, I mean, it's been along for so long. Come on.
Every time I look in the mirror.
Oh, he's a bear.
Callback.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to BPRD Hell on Earth number 115 is coming out tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, this
great comic.
This comic is fantastic. Last issue. So we've had a couple of years where terrible things have happened, like legitimately terrible things in this comic, where cities have been destroyed, giant monsters have taken over the earth.
Hellboy died.
Yeah. Every single member of the team has left. Got away. They're losing. Things look bad. And last issue, Liz Sherman, who's one of the heroes of the book, finally got her groove back, came into the fold, and for the first time, there was a legitimate win in probably 5 years of reading these book. So this is the issue after that. I'm excited to see where it goes next.
Cool. Now, have you read it already?
Octopus. Yes.
What?
Yeah, I've read it. It's really good.
All right.
Also, Alex and Ada, number 3, is coming out tomorrow. This is a book. If you like the movie Her at all, you should check this out. It's about a lonely guy who is sent a sex robot by his grandma, who's like, come on, you should just have a little fun. He's very uncomfortable about it, but has started
to... Have you seen the movie Her?
Yeah.
But it's not about a sex robot.
If you like Her, you might like this.
Okay.
Not, it's an adaptation of the movie
completely
Her.
Different.
The robot doesn't look like the grandma, right?
Do you have, like, the legacy virus, Alex? Because you're coughing a lot.
Everybody run away.
If you like the movie Her or having sex with your grandma, check out Alex and Ada from Image Comics. Kevin, what are you looking forward to?
I see Black Dynamite number 1 is coming out tomorrow.
Dynamite! Dynamite!
Which, yeah, I don't need to say why I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's great.
Because cool. Black Dynamite.
Yeah. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Right now, the town?
There you go.
Well, I'm the colorist for the Grim Digital comic that's up on Comixology now from Dynamite. And I Rule the Night is still available on Comixology for the moment.
It is.
Fishtown is still on Comixology, too, in its original form. You can still get that in hardcover some places. And The Crow is still out, too, in hardcover as well.
All right. Very cool. David, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to both Superior Spider-Man because...
Ooh.
Superior Spider-Man book. And Daredevil, which is also amazing.
Yeah.
And apparently Matt Murdock was also taken over by Dr. Octopus and that. No, he wasn't.
No.
And plug your stuff, David. What should people check out?
Well, you can check out Box 13, which is available on Comixology. You can check out High Moon, which is available in Comixology. You can check out The Only Living Boy, which is available in Comixology. And so lots of stuff. And then you can check out Alternatees, which is going to be available in Comixology shortly. And the Only Living Boy webcomic, Only Living Boy, OLBcomic.com.
Oh, and the TV show you're working on. What was the name of that
again? I can't tell you.
Oh, all right.
Damn it.
All right, come on.
It's a TV show. I work on a TV show.
All right, very cool. Kardashians, right?
Yeah, it's a reality show, but I can't say anything.
What?
I wanted to plug one thing.
Oh, yeah, Pete wants to plug something. This is pretty exciting.
So the next installment of my comic strip, Captain Jones, number 2, I'm going to post that up on Twitter when this airs. So tomorrow I will put that up.
Yeah. Wait, whoa. This airs tomorrow?
Yes, this airs tomorrow.
So this airs today for people listening.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, just check Twitter tomorrow. It doesn't matter when. It's all good.
Yeah.
Just twitter.com as the address that you check out?
At real Pete LePage.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, where's the fake Pete LePage?
Well, somebody took Pete LePage, so they're fake, obviously.
So are you the real one?
I'm the fake one.
God. Wait. Is that the superior Pete LePage?
Oh, nice.
No, man.
He's the inferior Pete.
I would hate for you to catch Alex's cough.
Guys, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to welcome back guest Dennis Calero is going to be here.
Nice.
Always a pleasure to have him. Should be very exciting.
That guy's crazy.
Yes. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all of our amazing guests.
Yeah. Check us out Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check it out tomorrow. There's going to be some cool stuff there. Also, check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Tom Radar, who's here.
Woo!
Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank Kevin for being on the show.
Yeah!
Woo! Kevin! Woo!
David!
Yeah! Woo! Bookman!
But most of all, we got to thank you guys. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in Fontana's. Totally free. Please tell your friends.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.